Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name's Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to welcome John Haber to our podcast. John is a good friend of Logistics Management and Peerless Media. He's founder and CEO of Spend Management Experts in Atlanta, Georgia. SME is a transportation, distribution, and fulfillment spend management consultancy. John has more than 25 years of supply chain experience and has helped some of the world's leading brands drive greater efficiencies through their supply chain operations while reducing transportation, distribution, and fulfillment costs. John began his career at UPS, where he held various executive-level positions in corporate finance and corporate strategy, and he was also instrumental in developing profitability and costing models. He also managed UPS's National Accounts Profitability Group, where he audited the pricing and profitability of UPS's top customers. John has a finance background, which is combined with decades of experience working with high-volume shippers, which enables him to offer unique insights on strategic supply chain planning, including things like distribution model optimization, transportation cost analysis, and carrier contract optimization and compliance. John, welcome to our podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad we're able to get you on. John, there's just so much going on in the market these days. But I'd be kind of remiss if we obviously didn't start with sort of the COVID-19 pandemic on a few different levels. I mean, things in logistics and supply chain have obviously been really different going back to mid-March when things really kicked in. And just with that as sort of a backdrop, John, what in your opinion? Do you think have been some of the biggest or most notable changes in the market since then? And when I talk about the markets, let's stick with the parcel and last mile logistics markets for now, just because there's been so much activity on that front.
Sure. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy since the pandemic started, Jeff. And really what we've seen is a huge increase in parcel volumes since March. When retail shut down, e-commerce was really the only solution to get goods to consumers, and as well as food and almost anything. And so the parcel volume started skyrocketing at the onset, and they really haven't slowed down. We've been in peak season since April. We've seen a huge shift in profiles to residential delivery, where UPS and FedEx are delivering almost 70% of packages to residences now rather than businesses. Those are a lot more expensive, as you know, Jeff. The last mile is a lot more costly on residential delivery. Right. And so what that has led to is surcharges, peak season surcharges that started in April of this year and will last now through mid-January of 2021. And we're also seeing the volumes are up so much, there's almost no capacity left. And so people are scrambling trying to find capacity. I saw Target announce yesterday they're starting their holiday sales much earlier this year to try and spread out the holiday purchases to try and avoid some of these costly peak season surcharges.
Yeah, I mean, in those peak season surcharges, I mean, and like you said, we've sort of been in a peak level environment going back to April, which is sort of unheard of. When we look at the peak, those surcharges in terms of its impact on market pricing and what it means for shippers, they have a lot more on the line, it seems, especially with the ongoing challenge of keeping their budgets in check. How does that all play out?
Well, the surcharges just keep coming. And, you know, some of them are legitimate, and we understand the need for them. Some of them are capitalizing on, you know, just the capacity environment. And so we think there's a lot of margin going into these surcharges for many of these carriers that are rolling them out. You know, everybody's rolling them out now. I mean, even the post office for the first time in history has peak season surcharges. The regional carriers are rolling them out. You've got, of course, got UPS and FedEx, but you've also got like Pitney Bowes has got a surcharge. And when the post office issues a peak season surcharge, anyone that's using the USPS for last mile delivery is also going to implement that as well. So that trickles down. The post office kind of dictates what happens there to a lot of the providers that use them in the last mile.
Okay. Yeah. That's a definitely a thing to keep an eye on. You know, and I just wanted to follow up on a conversation you and I had. I think it was sometime early August. You said something along the lines of, you know, we always say that free shipping is not free. And at some point you may just see free shipping go away. You said that may very well be the outcome in 2021 with shipping policies starting to change for consumers. What would sort of be the after effect or the next steps of that thesis? I mean, it just seems like consumers are very free shipping focused, even though when you peel the onion, there's obviously a lot more to it. How might this play out as we look ahead?
Well, what we've seen recently is UPS and FedEx have been targeting their largest customers for very hefty price increases. Many of these are retailers. And because of the timing and because of the just lack of options and capacity as we're going into what usually is the real peak season, shippers, you know, these customers don't really have many options. And they're getting hit with these huge cost increases right now, in addition to these surcharges. And if you listen to what, you know, UPS's new CEO said, she said that retailers can pass these on. They can pass these costs on very easily and kind of hide them. Well, yeah. Who are they gonna get passed on to? They're going to get passed on to you and I.
Yeah, that was a very candid statement, to be sure. So I guess we'll just have to see on that. And just circling back to peak season, obviously we've both brought that up a few times over our talk. You know, it's just so interesting. You know, with people cooped up at home, the shelter in place orders, vacations, travel being canceled. It's obviously subsequently led to many consumers, you know, buying goods, you know, buying things, you know, as opposed to going on the road or whatever. And it's obviously burdened these e-commerce networks. And it looks to be more of the same as we head into the holiday stretch here with peak. And I just asked this because UPS and FedEx and Amazon have all announced their seasonal hires to the tune of tens of thousands, something like 70 to 100,000 for a few of these companies. How does that translate into meeting the service demands or the delivery demands in a peak? Again, it's likely to be unlike any other.
Yeah, UPS has announced 100,000 as a target. Amazon's 100,000. FedEx is 70,000. I question whether they can find that many people to hire.
Right?
Labor is a major issue. It's a major issue in logistics. A lot of our clients are having trouble staffing their warehouses with enough people. And so it's going to be very challenging. FedEx, I don't know if you saw, has changed the commitment times on their air products. They've changed the, even though they're not guaranteed right now, they've moved the time back. So next day air is not, you shouldn't be looking for it by 10:30. You should be looking for it by noon.
Right.
So that just shows you how strained the networks are right now. The volume is only going to increase from here. So they're going to really need to, they need these people in order for it to be a smooth peak season. And I think it's going to be fairly rocky.
Yeah. It's going to be really, really an interesting ride. And just shifting back to the Postal Service, USPS, you know, there's just their shipping and packages group. If you were to look at it individually alone, it looks really solid. But I mean, what can it do And I know in some instances, for example, especially with UPS, they do have a partnership and they do have a Sunday partnership with Amazon. But how can the USPS effectively compete with the duopoly of UPS and FedEx and as well as Amazon, of course? What's sort of the roadmap for them?
Well, the post office obviously has huge financial problems, and those need to be solved as best as possible for them to be a legitimate competitor moving forward with the UPS and the FedExes of the world. I mean, they're having a lot of trouble right now with Amazon. They're having trouble with a lot of their big customers on providing the service levels. They're obviously in the news for a lot of political reasons, but the reality is that their service levels have not been up to par, and that's been challenging for them. They need to have some sort of pension reform. You know, if you look at all the losses, a lot of it is the pension that is driving that. Something has to be done to solve that. And, you know, they've got new leadership there. We'll see how that works. He's DeJoy has a lot of experience running logistics companies. So I think that he can help get it turned around. But they're going to need to have some flexibility. I mean, to compete with UPS and FedEx, USPS has a lot of rules and regulations on how they can price things. And they're handcuffed. You know, we see that they're not price competitive. In most cases, they're just not price competitive, and you've got to be price competitive in these days and age if you're going to offer free shipping.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just sort of sticking for a second with that same theme, but shifting away from the USPS for a second, John, what about more of the regional last mile parcel type guys? You know, I'm thinking more like OnTrack, LaserShip, and among many others too. What's sort of their role in the market in sort of this new COVID-based business world we live in? What can they bring to the table for shippers of different sizes as it relates to e-commerce and last mile logistics and things like that?
They're great solutions, and we're working with them almost every day. We've got both of them involved on a number of projects with us. The problem right now, though, is they're capped as well. I mean, they're not taking on new volume in 2020. We're looking at 2021 right now. So while they're a good solution, they're not a solution for shippers right now, just because the networks they've committed to capacity. They've got a lot of big customers that are taking up capacity, and they've got to build out additional capacity based on what's happening. You know, FedEx changed their e-com volume projections. The amount of volume they thought was going to have, e-com was going to drive in 2026, they moved that up to 2023. So 3 years has been moved up.
Yeah.
We've got to get more capacity in the parcel networks, or costs will continue to rise.
Right. Absolutely. And just wrapping up here, I just had a few different things I thought would be interesting for our audience. You know, just some of the, let's, and we could keep it fairly top level in the interest of time, but John, when we're looking at some of the bigger trends and themes that shippers need to be keeping an eye on going forward, and the first thing I thought of would be sort of, what do you think things are going to look like once there's eventually a vaccine, a COVID-19 vaccine? And I mean, I guess I asked what the subsequent impact of it will be on the market, because maybe people will want to go return to stores more and sort of hit the pavement and get out there, as opposed to hunkering down and ordering things online. What could be the fallout of that, for example?
I think that you will see that people are ready to get out of the house and get back to normalcy, or at least somewhat a form of normalcy. So you'll see brick and mortar stores coming back, the ones that survive. And so you'll see it shift, but the e-com volume, there's going to be a lot of stickiness with the e-com residential delivery, because there's a whole new profile of shopper that is shopping online now that didn't shop before, and that will stay. Yeah. So older people that didn't really buy online, they've realized how easy it is. It's actually more convenient for them than going out to the stores. They're not going to go back to the stores. So we'll see some shift, but you're going to, you know, the e-com will continue to rise as a percentage of overall retail sales significantly over the next 5 years.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, listen, John, we're at the end of our allotted time for today's podcast. So on behalf of Logistics Management and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I want to offer up a big thank you for joining us today.
It's always great to talk to you, Jeff. Thanks for having me. Hope you guys are well.
Absolutely. And John, while we have you on the pod, do you have a social media channel that you want to push out, or Spend Management Experts Twitter? If you don't have it offhand, I'll just tell the audience it's to check out Spend Management Experts on Twitter. And John also has a really engaging LinkedIn page too. So please feel free to check that out.
Yeah, you can find me at Habergistics on Twitter. And you can find us on LinkedIn, Spend Management Experts. You can find us online at www.spendmgmt.com.
All right, terrific. Well, thanks again, John. And on behalf of Logistics Management and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time.